Sunrose Yoga. Reveal and remember your sacred nature through the practice of yoga. The Sunrose Yoga podcast is a collection of audio recordings, videos, and writings about the practices of yoga. The mission of this podcast is to share the teachings in an accessible way and to hold space for meaningful discussion about yoga. To learn more, please visit sunroseyoga.com. The podcast is made possible by the generous donations of students. If you practice with us here, please consider making a one-time or recurring donation over at sunroseyoga.com. Thank you. Hi, everybody. Thank you for listening. This is episode 125 of Sunrose Yoga. I'm Kelly, and I'm glad that you're here. This is an all-levels class recorded live at my Tuesday-Thursday class at the People's Yoga here in Portland, Oregon. We go deep into the core. If you enjoy the podcast, please consider making a one-time or recurring donation at sunroseyoga.com. There's a link that says donate here. Thank you. Love Namaste. You. We just finished reading this at my house, Little House in the Big Woods. Have any of you read this? Yeah, this is like a very big part of my growing up, and it's sort of fun to read with my daughter because, I mean, she's a city kid, and we've had so many interesting discussions about the things in this book. Like, she's also a vegetarian, so, you know, when they're rendering pork and things in here, she's like, wait, what's happening? Anyway, the last page really got to me this time. So it's the book ends with Pa playing Auld Lang Syne on his and singing it on his with his fiddle. When the fiddle had stopped singing, Laura called out softly, "What are days of Auld Lang Syne, Pa?" "They are the days of a long time ago, Laura," Pa said. "Go to sleep now." But Laura lay awake a little while, listening to Pa's fiddle softly playing and to the lonely sound of the wind in the big woods. She looked at Pa sitting on the bench by the hearth, the firelight gleaming on his brown hair and beard and glistening on the honey brown fiddle. She looked at Ma, gently rocking and knitting. And she thought to herself, this is now. She was glad that the cozy house and Pa and Ma and the firelight and the music were now. They could not be forgotten, she thought, because now is now. It can never be a long time ago. Let's find our way to the seat that is now, where we're settled into the support that's already happening, and where we relax into the length that's already happening. And if you look closely, there's this space for rest in this intersection of past and future. Let's make the sound of Om three times all together, letting the hands rest where they are comfortable, maybe on the legs or the heart or the lap. And try not to worry about what it sounds like. Just allow whatever is inside you to come out and to be with what's created. We'll take a full cycle of breath together before we begin. Deep breath in. And let it all go. And a breath in. And so in time, we'll come all the way down onto the floor, onto our backs. And as you're organizing your body, make sure that you can reach your arms out to your sides and not touch another person or the wall. And if you can, then you might stagger yourself. We'll be on the back for a bit. To start, we'll extend the body completely out onto the floor. Lie supine. And as you breathe in, we'll start to flex the feet. That is, we'll start to draw the toenails on the tops of the feet toward the rest of the body, pressing out through the heels. And as you breathe out, we'll reverse that action. We'll point the toes. And you might do it sort of slowly and methodically, pointing the balls of the feet and then the toes. And as you breathe in, flexing the feet. And as you breathe out, reversing that action. And we'll do that just a handful of times, noticing what's happening in your body. The primary action is happening low in the body. But as you begin to pay attention, you might start to notice sensation related to it farther and farther and farther from the epicenter of movement. And in time, we'll begin to make these movements sort of closer to the center, almost as though you're turning down the volume on the movement, so that from the outside it becomes harder and harder to see. And to detect sensation, you'll rely on these finer qualities of your instruments of perception. And in time, you may find yourself in a space where it's hard to tell whether you're moving. And if and when you arrive in those spaces, just notice what it's like. And in time, we'll start to bend at the knees and sort of drag the heels in the general direction of your backside. And we'll plant the soles of the feet on the floor, and we won't get too uptight or too fastidious about how the body is organized, but if your heels were generally aligned with your sitting bones and your knees were generally stacked over your ankles, that might be an interesting place to begin. And the arms really are up to you. Some people like to have the palms or the hands facing the sky. Some people like a little more openness with the arms up overhead or cactus arms. Do what feels right here. And at the pace of your own breath, as you breathe in, press the feet into the floor. Press the lumbar spine, the small of your back, into the floor. And as you breathe out, come back to neutral. And we'll do this just a couple of times, just a tiny handful of times, pressing the feet into the floor, the small of the back into the floor, and breathing out, coming back to neutral. And you might notice that as you're doing this, you know, there's a rounding happening as you breathe in of the spine and the back. And the tiniest bit of an arch that naturally happens as you breathe out. And what else can you notice? Where else do you feel these movements? Shoulders? Back of the skull? Palms of the hands. By paying attention to the things that are happening, we find that sense of timelessness in now. And so the next time or two that you're breathing in and pressing the feet and the small of the back into the earth, we'll pause in that shape and we'll sort of intentionally start to curl the sitting bones so that their gaze shifts toward the backs of the knees. And that's pretty subtle already, but if you want to take it just one level deeper, while you're curling the sitting bones under, can you keep a neutral tailbone? So like a tailbone that's gaze is sort of parallel to the earth. And with a breath out, relax all of the effort. And in time, with a breath in, we'll draw the knees toward the chest. And there's so much room as we move into this sort of deep core work. There's so much room for experimentation. And the ways that you might experiment here are with the distance between your heels and your backside. For some people, it feels better to let the heels be heavier. And for some people, you know, they might almost extend the leg straight depending on what works. And you might also experiment with the angle of the tops of the thighs relative to the torso. For some people, it feels good to have the tops of the thighs pretty close to the torso, and some people it feels good to have them a ways away. The idea is to be at the point where you feel something, but where you're, you know, not overwhelmed by it. And another place where we can experiment is with the distance between the legs. And for the most part, as we move into these deep core practices, the idea is to stay stable through the pelvis, and that will require us to keep the distance between the knees and the distance between the feet pretty constant. And one way that we can assist here is to place a block between the thighs. That can be a useful way of practicing. And for this, we'll bring the arms out to T, maybe slightly lower than T, with the palms facing down or up, depending on your shoulders. And we'll breathe in here at the center. And as you breathe out, start to lower the low body as a unit to the right as you look to the left. And as you breathe in, bring it all back to the middle. And as you breathe out, lower the unit of the low body to the left as you look to the right. And we'll practice this a handful of times, and we'll give ourselves lots of space for process. You know, to really figure out in the body, mechanically, how to make these shapes happen. To really go deeply into what you are feeling sensation-wise in the body. And to run those experiments that seem interesting. You know, you might point the toes or flex the feet and notice how that feels different. And whatever sensation is interesting to you, stay with it. Follow it. Become, you know, this interior expert on sensation. And that doesn't require any specialized knowledge other than presence, other than being with now. And so the next time or two that you're exhaling the knees toward the right, we'll stay there for a bit and we'll let things become heavier. We'll let things become softer. We'll let things yield to the gravity that's already happening. And you might, if you have the block between the legs, you might just leave the block here. And go to those parts of your body where you seem to be holding or gripping or protecting. And invite softness. And being mindful of your neighbor will extend the top leg, the left leg, just like you're sort of kicking a soccer ball beyond your right hand, and will flex that foot. we'll notice sensation all the way up the leg, all the way into the torso. And with the breath in, start to sweep that left leg toward the sky, letting it carry you onto your back, extending the right leg toward the sky as well. And as you breathe out, we'll start to roll to the left, bending the left knee as you go, bending the right knee as you go, looking to the right. And we'll let things become heavy and soft again. And all those places where we're holding and gripping, invite ease to move into them. There's nowhere that we need to get to. And in time, we'll extend the right leg as well, being careful of our neighbor. Maybe flexing the foot and noticing the distance from the right ankle to the top of the hip. And as you breathe in, we'll sweep that right leg toward the sky, letting that carry us onto the back, extending the left leg as well. And we'll move through that sort of sequence a couple of times at the pace of the breath. So as you breathe out, start to roll to the right, bending the right knee, bending the left knee, looking to the left. And as you breathe in, we'll extend the left leg, sweep it toward the sky, extend the right leg as you move onto your back. And as you exhale, start to roll to the left, bending right, looking right. And again, as you breathe in, we'll follow the breath, giving yourself a lot of space to figure it out in your body. Like, this is a little dancier than we ordinarily get in our yoga classes. This practice comes from Feldenkrais, if you're familiar with that. And so really let yourself be a beginner, you know, whether you've done this once or 100 times. And notice how moving one part affects another part. Notice where the body is responding and how it's responding. And the next time that you happen to be inhaling back to the center, we'll stay there for a couple of breaths with the legs extended toward the sky. And if the legs are separated, you might start to move them toward each other so that your heels are stacked over your knees, are stacked over your sitting bones. And again, you might experiment with the angle of the legs relative to the earth and relative to the torso. And you might experiment with the shape that your feet make and let them be in a shape that communicates engagement and aliveness, but also ease, so that you feel the leg bones settling into their sockets and the hips settling into the earth. And we'll extend the arms in the same way so that they're parallel to each other and parallel to the legs, letting the hands convey aliveness, but let everything settle into the earth at the same time. So really invite the shoulders to sink into the earth. And notice what you feel. With a breath out, we'll hug the knees into the chest and just sort of like hug and sway. And in time, we'll relax the hug. So the knees are still, you know, just generally moving in the direction of the torso, but not quite so tightly. And with a breath out, we'll roll the entire body over to the right, like almost like you're just rolling over in your bed, onto the right shoulder, onto the right side. And from here, we'll take the left hand right in front of the face and press the hand into the floor, coming up onto the right elbow. And this, I have a really ridiculous name for this. Betty Boop. Do you guys know who Betty? Yeah, everyone knows Betty Boop. So this is Betty Boop. We're leaning on the elbow and we're lengthening from the hip to the armpit. And you can sort of adjust the intensity by lengthening or shortening the distance between your hip and your armpit. And so we'll sort of sink or sag into the support that's happening here. And you can't do this wrong. You know, like, it's also about, like, experimenting with it for years. Nice. So lengthening the side body. Beautiful. And is it possible to sort of relax? You know, to, like, let your body be supported by your bones and let your bones be supported by the earth. And in time, we'll take Betty Boop and we'll turn her on her side. So we'll place the left hand again on the floor and we'll place the right hand on the floor so that the fingers are facing the back of your mat. And we'll lower the right forearm to the floor and then we'll lower the left forearm to the floor so that you, your face, your heart are facing the back of your mat. And this is a sort of twisting sphinx, that's what I call it. And again, if you can allow yourself to sort of sag between the support of the arms, and there's really and truly like nowhere to go. You know, there's no ideal yoga journal cover version of this shape. So whatever you're doing is already perfect. Let yourself sort of soften into it, soften around it, and to notice what sensations are arising. And to come out, we'll move slowly. So you might press the left hand into the floor, lifting the elbow just enough to slide the right arm underneath and come back to the right shoulder, rolling onto the back. And you might pause on the back. You might extend fully into Shavasana. Just take a moment to notice the right side of the body and the left side of the body. And in time, we'll drag the heels back toward the backside if you've fully extended. And we'll let an exhalation roll the body all the way over onto the left. Just like nice and easy. So
you're resting on the left side of the body. And to find our way into Betty Boop, we'll place the right hand on the floor, just, you know, next to the face,
so that you can then come up onto the left elbow and sort of sag into the left side of the body. Notice the places where you tend to hold or grip or protect, and invite softness.
And you know, sometimes we'll do that. You know, when I say we, like sometimes I'll do that and it's like nothing happens. You know, like I might even find myself getting more tense when I, you know, it's like when someone's yelling in your face, relax. And that's normal. Like those patterns of holding, like they took an entire life to write in the body or to create, and they'll take some time to unravel. And our work is in sending that message over and over again.
It's okay to soften. And in time, we'll take Betty Boop and we'll sort of twist her at the top so that we move toward a twisting sphinx, placing the fingers on the floor, the hands on the floor, the elbows on the floor, so that the parallel arms are pointing towards the back of the mat. And as much as you can, we'll keep the low body stable, so knee to knee and foot to foot, so that most of the twisting action happens at the top, the upper register of the spine. And can you invite a sense of ease in the feet, in the bottoms of the feet? And around the ankles. And to come out, again, you might press the right hand into the floor and lift the elbow off of the floor a little bit, sliding the left arm underneath as you roll onto the back. Take your time. And then pause in the shape that feels the most like ease. Maybe it's full extended Shavasana. Maybe it's knees bent and soles of the feet on the floor. Maybe it's soles of the feet together, and notice the right side of the body. Notice the left side of the body. And in time, we'll make our way to upright, to standing. And you can do that in whatever way feels right. You might roll front to back. You might roll to one side. And for some people, it makes sense to kind of like shake it out. Or wiggle it around to move the body, or sway or shift. And move towards a wide-legged forward fold, Prasarittapadottanasana. So if you like to keep your feet on your mat, you might turn to face the long side of the mat. If you do not care, then your feet might be just on either side of your mat. And for some people, particularly people with tight hamstrings, you might like to have blocks within easy reach. So from wherever you are,
we'll widen the stance, and we'll angle the toes in just slightly. And to start, just start to feel your feet. You might shift your weight into the balls of the feet, into the toes a little bit, back into the heels. You might notice what happens if you really pay attention to the pinky toe side of your foot. And can you find your way back to a place that feels balanced? You know, where you're not relying too much on one particular area for support. And we'll take the teeniest, tiniest bend in the knees. And to begin, let's bring the hands to the hips. And you might point the elbows straight behind you, letting your tailbone become slightly heavier. And with a breath out, press the feet solidly into the floor as you hinge from the hips. And to start, let's bring the torso to about parallel to the earth so that we can really start to feel the legs and to sort of refine an internal sense of alignment. And what happens if you send a message to your glutes to engage? Just notice what happens, what that feels like. And relax the effort a little bit. And then what happens when you send the message to the quads to lift the kneecaps? And we'll relax the effort of that a bit. And from here, you might release your hands down to the earth, right beneath the shoulders. The idea is, however, for us to keep a long spine. So if that requires a real rounding of the back, then bring the blocks right underneath the shoulders and invite the heart to move toward the floor, keeping the spine long. And can we let there be just enough ease throughout the body that you can really feel the movements of your body with the breath? And with a breath in, let's press the feet into the floor. Bend the knees a little bit more. We'll bring the hands to the hips, and we'll use the legs to bring the torso all the way back up. And let's find outfielder pose. So you might turn the heels in a bit and bring the hands to the tops of the thighs. And there's no wrong way to do this, because it really is just what you might imagine. That might be too wide of a stance. I don't know what accurate would be like. Probably some, I don't know, big league gum, is that? I don't know if that's what it's called. And so then we'll rise all the way up, and we'll reverse this action. So we'll keep the toes pointing out. And with toes pointing out, notice your balance. Like, notice where you're really relying on the ball, the inner ball. Can you feel the outer ball of the foot? Can you feel the pinky toe side of the foot, the center of the heel? And here, let's breathe in and sweep the arms toward the sky. And as you breathe out, we'll start to bend at the elbows and we'll bend at the knees. And you might do this a couple of times, just maybe even not all the way, sort of inhaling and rising up, and exhaling and settling in. Notice the contact that the feet are making with the floor. And let there be that sense of ease right at the skin. And maybe with the next exhalation, we'll settle into the shape. So noticing complete contact between the feet and the earth. Maybe inviting the tailbone to drop down, to become more sensitive to gravity. Maybe moving the belly toward the spine a millimeter and inviting the heart to bloom. And be with the breath. And with the breath in, we'll press the feet into the floor and we'll slowly rise up to stand. And as you breathe out, release the arms. And again, you might spend a moment in outfield or center field or some version of that. And notice maybe the front of the body and the back of the body. And we'll prepare again to move back toward Prasarita Padottanasana, this wide-legged forward fold standing. And this time, we'll bring the hands to the low back and we'll interlace the fingers, just like you're holding your own hand. Notice the contact the feet are making with the floor. Toes are angled in slightly, ever so slightly. Knees maybe micro-bend so that we're not locking them out later. Let the tailbone become a little more sensitive to gravity. Invite the belly to move a teeny tiny bit closer to the spine. Invite the heart to bloom. And with a breath out, press the feet into the floor and we'll start to hinge from the hips. Inviting the heart to move toward the earth. And once you've found the place, you know, where you're in your hamstrings in this forward fold, but where you haven't veered into stretching out your back, we'll pause there. And you might start to lift your hands away from your low back, maybe extending the arms toward the sky or toward the wall in front of you. And if you have a tendency to lock things or hyperextend, you might keep a little bend in the elbows. Now, if you were to imagine that your hands were the point of a compass, as you breathe out, can you turn the point of the compass a little bit to the left? So the heart turns a bit to the right. And as you breathe in, bring it all back to the middle. And as you breathe out, turn the point of the compass a little toward the right as the heart turns a bit toward the left. And breathing in back to the center. And as you breathe out, let your hands make their way back toward your low back. And for a couple of breaths, just dangle here. Like let your spine round, let your shoulders soften, let your arms soften. Let the back of the skull be soft. And we'll press the feet into the floor and using the legs, let's roll the spine all the way up to stand. Taking your time. And then we'll pause for a moment, either in standing Shavasana or resting at the wall Shavasana or full on lying down Shavasana. Wherever you can just be with the
the sensations that are arising in the body. And in time, we'll make our way back to the top of the mat. And as you breathe in, sweep the arms, hands, and fingers toward the sky. And as you breathe out, let your shoulders soften into their sockets. Let your hands soften. As you breathe in, just tiny bend in the knees. And as you breathe out, we'll step the right foot back in preparation for Warrior One. So the toes will point out slightly. And as you breathe into the front of the body. And as you breathe out, start to bend the left knee, easing into Virabhadrasana One, Warrior One. Letting the right leg connect fully. Right foot making complete contact with the earth. Nice. And to support the mid-back, let the tailbone be slightly heavier, just slightly more receptive to gravity. Invite the belly button to move a millimeter closer to the spine. Yeah. And invite the heart to bloom. Oh, beautiful. Oh, that's just gorgeous. And with the next breath out, can you bend at the elbows and make sort of like cactus arms? Yeah. Oh, inner shoulder blades. Nice. And with the breath out, let's turn the palms of the hands to face away from the ears and notice where you feel that. And as you breathe out, turn the palms of the hands to face in toward the ears and notice where you feel that. Now from there, we'll breathe in and bend the right knee slightly so that you have a little control there. Come to the ball of the right foot. And as you breathe out with ease and without speed, start to shift your weight into the left foot, lifting the right leg away from the earth. Virabhadrasana 3. Let the arms soften a bit. Let the shoulders soften. Beautiful. Let your right hip become just slightly heavier in its pocket. From here, like really make contact between the left foot and the floor. And as you breathe in, we'll bring the body upright and we'll bring that knee all the way forward. And as you breathe out, start to sit down into your left knee. You might flex the right toes. And let's take like a couple of rounds of Simhasana here, the Lion Mudra, where we take a breath in through the nose. We exhale out through the mouth, sticking out the tongue. Don't worry about what you look like. We're all doing it. And with the breath in, let's reach the fingers toward the sky. And we'll breathe out and come back to neutral, releasing the arms and then softening. And you might come to Shavasana. You might lie down on the floor, or you might take a standing Shavasana where there's ease everywhere. And notice sensation. And in time, we'll prepare for side two. So we'll make our way back toward the top of the mat. And as you breathe in, we'll sweep the arms, hands, and fingers toward the sky. And as you breathe out, we'll soften at the shoulders. Take a couple of breaths here. And with a breath in, we'll bend the knees a teeny tiny bit. And as you breathe out, we'll step the left foot back, turning the toes out slightly. Lengthening the entire body, squaring the hips to the front of the mat, and with a breath out, we'll start to bend the right knee, Virabhadrasana 1. Softening the shoulders, softening the hands, softening the skin. Now, in this shape, without getting too worked up about it, the points of the hips are facing the front of the mat, and right hip point and left hip point are in a tie. So if one of them, like your right hip, wants to win, does anyone else want to do that? Invite that hip to move back. Invite the right ribs to move back as you invite the left side of the body to move forward. Your feet might need to adjust. The angle of your back foot might need to adjust. Sorry, words happening fast. Don't be afraid to change course, to change your alignment, like it's not a show. Let the tailbone be heavy. Nice. Let the belly start to find the back of the body for support and invite the heart to bloom. And as you do that, find a little ease in the neck. And with the breath out, we'll bend at the elbows. We'll find cactus. And as you breathe out, turn the palms of the hands to face away from the ears. Notice where you feel that. And as you breathe out, turn the palms of the hands to face in toward the ears. And with the breath in, we'll start to bend the left knee, the teeniest, tiniest bit, and then shift to the ball of the left foot. As you breathe out, shift your weight into the right foot as you lift the left leg. Virabhadrasana 3. The left hip is heavy. The belly and the points of the hips are facing the earth. Let there be ease in the neck. Gorgeous. You might flex the left foot or flex point it. With the breath in, let's press the right foot into the floor as we draw the body toward upright and bring the left knee forward. And as you breathe out, sit into your right knee, and you might sort of flex the toes while you point the rest of your foot, so pointing through the ball. Maybe three lion breaths here, in through the nose and out through the mouth. And a breath in, rising up, and a breath out, release. And pause and notice.
And in time, we'll come down to the floor into a seat. And we'll bring the soles of the feet together. Heels are a sustainable distance from the pelvis. So if you find yourself already saying the F word or something, then like maybe ease up a little bit. I don't know, I swear a lot in my brain. Mostly I'm saying like fish sticks or something, but and so depending on the distance between the heels and the pelvis, you might hold your shins, or if your heels are closer, you might be able to reach the big toes. But, you know, let the shoulders be easy. And with a breath out, just start to feel the heart invited across the room. And your head, it might lag behind the teeniest, tiniest bit. But the idea here is that instead of relying on our back, which is, for most of us, pretty stretched out, we're really moving into the inner thighs and to the outer hips here. And in time, you might find that it's appropriate to tuck the chin and to notice the length of the body from the tailbone up the back of the neck into the skull. And an interesting experiment that you might conduct is on a breath in to press the feet solidly against each other and to notice what happens. And to stay right there, just, you know, vigilant at the surface of sensation. And with a breath in, let's start to come back up. And notice what you feel. And before we rest, we'll do a little work for the tops of the thighs, the quads, and into the psoas, in deep into the core. And this shape can be practiced right side up or upside down, depending on the knees and depending on the low back. The idea is that the knees don't hurt and the low back is not pinchy. So if either of those things happen, consider flipping it over. Option number one is Supta Virasana, which can be practiced with lots or no props. I think for the low back, it's useful to use props. So we'll to find our way in, we'll bend the knee, sit knees, if you have to, sitting between the feet and then snuggling at least a bolster right up to your sacrum. And in order to keep this from becoming all about back bends, before you recline, press the hands into the bolster, lift up your booty, tuck the tailbone under before coming down. Otherwise, you get this super deep back bend in a part of your body that's probably just overbent anyway. Now, you can use several bolsters. Three, we have lots. We got new ones, and they're great. And you can also prop this up with blocks on top of the bolsters. I kind of like adding two blocks, one under the heart and one under the skull, so that you sort of get an added heart support. So if this is like...
What if it hurts your ankles?
So your booty is between your feet. Does that
that make sense?
Yeah.
Yes. Does it hurt the top of your feet? Yeah, okay. Ooh, that ankle is kind of sickling in. So, yeah, that would hurt. So, a couple things. You might want to pad the floor with this, because it is a lot for the top of the feet. And your toes want to kind of roll in. If you can, yeah, do you see what I mean? Yeah, does that feel better? If it doesn't, the upside down version, I actually really like for the psoas. You're on the belly, heels are moving toward your booty, really relax through the shoulders. So if you can reach back for your feet and hold them and let the shoulders be heavy, then do it. But if not, then I will help you lasso your feet because there's really no effort in the shoulders. Yeah, so if you can like,
that's
okay. Good. That looks beautiful. So, then this little added action is with the breath in, if your belly is on the floor, press the pelvis into the floor. And as you breathe out, relax. If your belly is facing the sky, then as you breathe in, slightly tuck the tailbone under. And as you breathe out, release. Super tiny movements. Probably the outside world thinks nothing is happening. And that's right where we want to be. If something is not feeling right, don't be shy about waving at me. And so as you're experimenting with the tiny movements, notice those tiny, minuscule engagements that are happening in the body to make the movement possible. And with each breath out, see if you can relax even more. Even more. And in time, we'll start to slowly come out of this shape. If you're on your belly, just release the feet. If you're on your back, sometimes it's helpful to take hold of your feet and sort of use them to pull the torso up. I also am always available to help anyone up, which is how I like to come out of it. And before we rest, we'll come down onto our backs and we'll make any of those last movements that just feel necessary, that feel perfect, that feel now. You might rock from side to side. You might extend the legs. Downward dog might be calling to you, and if it is, then go to it.
time, you might begin to meander toward your shape of rest, and that is whatever shape is restful. So it could be on the back, or on the side, or on the belly, or with legs up the wall. We're sitting. Inviting everything to settle into the bones. Inviting the bones to rest on the earth. Watching and listening and feeling as the breath blows across the bones and blows across the earth. You might bring your awareness to the sensation of breath as it moves through the nostrils, its way into the body and then out of the body. might begin to let your exhalations happen through the mouth with sort of the whisper of a and you might maintain that sense of openness in the mouth and the throat while closing the mouth and exhaling through the nose. Softening the effort of breathing and letting the natural sound and shape and rhythm of your breath return. And maybe inviting a pulsation of movement to the body, maybe in the hands or the feet. And inviting that to spread. Movements move across the entire body. Maybe making yourself as long as possible. And then hugging everything back in toward the middle. And maybe swaying from side to side. And coming to rest on your favorite side. And in time, starting to find your way back to your seat. Maybe the hands will find their way to your heart in a shape that makes sense. Doesn't have to be anything official. And maybe the weight of the hands at the heart will
will remind you that now is now, and now cannot be forgotten. And we can come back to that over and over and over again in every breath, in the space between movement and thought. There is always now. Thank you all for sharing this space. Now is now.
Namaste.